And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to get into a very popular area of thinking. You know, I've been told all my life that Jews should return to the Holy Land. All my life. I've been told that although there are relatively few Jews in the United States, they're required, they're mandated by God to go to the Holy Land, to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem. Now, there are some 7.5 million Jews now living in Israel. 7.5 million. And most of those have arrived since 1948, when Israel again became a modern nation. Until then, Israel had no territory, no presence at all. The territory of Palestine was what they called Israel. And there's really, you know, confusion as to how many people they had. But apparently in 1947, there were about 700,000 Palestinians. Just 700,000 Palestinians in the area we now know as Israel. Of those, some 20,000 were Jewish. Only 20,000 were Jewish. Most of the Jews there had been raised from the time they were little. They were born in Israel. They were Sephardic Jews. And that's what we thought should be. Now, when it turned out that in 1948, our president, Harry Truman, to the consternation of the entire nation, gave, signed really into law. Well, it's not really into law. He signed a document, an executive order, making Israel a state. I have a copy of that in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And if you look at it very carefully, you'll see that it's such a simple document. It basically just says, from this date henceforth, the nation of Israel is established. That's all it did. Now, within 2 hours, the Soviet Union also recognized Israel as a nation. So this was a done deal on the part of the two superpowers. One, the leader of the free world, so-called. The second, the leader of the communist world, Joseph Stalin. Obviously, they had agreed before. There was no disagreement at all. So they, you know, established a certain area in Israel. Now, if you look at a map and look at the 1948 map, you'll be astonished. Because Israel was only a small part of Palestine. So the whole of Palestine did not get to be part of Israel. So that belonged to the Palestinian people. So Israel only had a small role to play. But in 1948, of course, the Israelis decided to rush in, and hundreds of thousands of Israelis came. You remember the movie Exodus? Came to Israel. They had never been there before. Many of them were from Eastern Europe. Some of them came from survivor camps. They had been Holocaust survivors. But in any case, they were just non-Palestinians. They didn't know anything at all about the Palestinians. but they learned very fast to kill the Palestinians and to take their land. Palestinians were a peaceful people. They didn't have guns. They didn't have bombs. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have aircraft. They just simply had for many years, almost 2,000 years, took care of the land. They had homes, they had villages, they had shops. They were just a people living there. 680,000, 20,000 Jews. And then it changed to 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, 600,000 and up Jews. And the Jews all seemed to have guns. They brought in guns with them. Where did they get these guns? Well, from the United States, from Europe, from the Soviet Union. The leader of Israel became David Ben-Gurion, whose real name was not David Ben-Gurion, but he was an Ashkenazi Jew. Now, he was from Poland. Others had other languages. And it literally was the case that some of the Jews could not speak to each other because they did not speak Hebrew. So what did they do? Well, they took over a building in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, by the way, had not been a city, but in 1919 was founded as a city for the first time by a Baron Rothschild. Baron Rothschild. Not the current Baron, but the previous Baron. So basically we had Rothschild who founded the city of Tel Aviv, which became the capital. And there was a building there known as the Red House. It was called the Red House because it was so full of Reds, communists. And the communists, they never mentioned that they were communists. They simply did their duty. And what was their duty? To kill, to maim, to murder, to have an ethnic cleansing of Israel, so-called. After 2,000 years, they had gained Israel back, part of Israel, and they began then to claim the land for themselves. Now, once you see the map of Israel, you will see that it slowly becomes blue and blue and blue and bluer. They took over more land. And as the years went by in 69, 73, and otherwise, they just took over more land. And they keep building settlements until today. There's very little land left for the Palestinians. They have they began building about 10 or 12 years ago, an apartheid wall. It goes through some towns, some villages, some people just had their whole field just torn up and they build this wall, this gigantic electric wall. And there you have, they say, okay, there's your side, there's our side. But the Jews tear down the wall whenever they want to, and start building it again. So this is what is done. Now, for any Jew, there's a law in Israel. For any Jew who wishes to come back to Israel, if you can prove that you're of Jewish blood by your mother's birth, the matriarchal line, then you're a Jew. Your name is Goldstein, Goldberg, Copperfield. It doesn't matter what your name is. Cohen, you're a Jew. If your mother was a Jew. Now, it doesn't matter what your father was. It all goes based on what your mother was. So if you have a mother who was a Jew, then you can go live in Israel. If you do not have a mother that was a Jew, you may go live there, but you will not really be a citizen. Only those whose mothers are Jews can be citizens. And anywhere in the world you are right now, you're invited. You're still a Jewish citizen. So this is the only country in the world that tells all the Jews, you're a citizen of Israel, whether you know it or not. Okay? If your name is Goldman, Goldstein, Cohen, whatever your name is, then okay. You may have been born in New York City. You may have been born in Toronto, Canada. It may be Toledo, Ohio, Houston, Texas, Los Angeles. You may have never visited Israel in your life, but you may go back at any time and say, I want to be a citizen. You can go back also and say, I want to join the armed forces of Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces. You then will have the opportunity of what is called Aliyah. Aliyah. A-L-I-Y-A-H. Aliyah. Aliyah. Okay, today we're going to talk about Aliyah. We're going to talk about Aliyah. Now, think about that. You're living somewhere in the United States. Your mother is, you know, well, she's Jewish. And you could be a Jew. You are a Jew. And at any time, you can return to Israel. Now, what if you have a criminal record? What if, in fact, you are accused of murdering thousands of people? There are some Jews that like that. And they go to Israel, and guess what? They're never tried for their crimes. Shlomo Morel of Poland, Shlomo Morel, was head of the post-World War II camps there. He killed thousands of Germans, very innocent Germans, whose only crime was, well, they were born in a town, you know, in Poland. They were rooted up, and they were told, you know, you're going to have to go back to Germany. But they never made it back. They made it to the concentration camp where they were murdered by Shlomo Morel. Shlomo Morel was a guy who lorded it over them all. He killed many with the stools that they sat on. He would take the stools and bang them over the head. I'm not going to make this show a show about what the Jews did, but let me just say that there were camps all over Europe after World War II, especially in the communist realm, where Jews were made the keepers of the non-Jews. And we'll talk about that some other time. But what would happen if all the world, the Jews in all the world, immigrated to Israel? They have the right. The Sheldon Adelson, the Las Vegas casino operator that gave tens of millions of dollars to Newt Gingrich and to Romney in this last campaign, he has the right to go there and live. In fact, I have a list of Jews who go there to live. Now, every once in a while I'll receive a letter, and I know you will too, from some Jew. Yekiel Eckstein is one of them. He says he's the head of a Jewish organization and a Christian organization. It's a Jewish Christian organization that Mr. Eckstein says his goal is to bring Jews back to Israel. Now, they're quite rich in America, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do. You know, Pat Boone has our organization called the Wings of Eagles. And he says what we do at Wings of Eagles is return Jews to Israel. So under Aliyah. So what does he do about that? Now, America has some 7.5 million Jews. There are only 7.5 million in Israel. And then there are around 3.5 million elsewhere in the world. So we have 7.5 million and 7.5 million. 7.5 million in Israel. 7.5 million in the United States. And 3.5 million, mostly in Europe. In Indonesia, in the Philippines, in China, in Korea, in India, not so many. Not so many. So the Jews seem to be in the United States, in Europe, and of course in Israel. Now, the Jews are told, you're a citizen of Israel. They're not really. The Jews have never lived in Israel. Many of them, they've never been there. But for some reason, they're invited there. So they sit down under this, you know, wonderful invitation. Please come to Israel and we'll do everything for you. Now they're told that they'll be given aid. They'll be given a home or an apartment. They'll be given a job. They'll be given all kinds of benefits. Of course, the nation of Israel is quite a wealthy nation. We went through a great recession in the world from 2007 or 2008 all the way up to 2012 for about 5 years, a huge recession, but not in Israel. In Israel, people were just as prosperous as they had always been. For example, Bernie Madoff, the great Ponzi scheme guy, they said that he had schemed about $65 billion from Jews in the United States. Where had this money gone? Well, the last I heard about it, it went to Israel Discount Bank in Israel. And it's still over there. Now, Mr. Madoff is in prison without a cent. His wife is, you know, what can I say about her? His son killed himself. But he says, I'm really not guilty. And I didn't do anything really that wrong. And so he's in prison. Now, once he gets out of prison, he can go to Israel to live and perhaps get a hold of those billions of dollars. It's claimed that he has up to $20 billion still in his accounts in Israel Discount Bank. The banks of Israel they're plush with cash. Let me put it that way. And they're plush with cash from the casinos, from Ponzi scheme operators, and from the crooks. Thousands of crooks have come from the Soviet Union, the United States, and other countries and fled to Israel, where they're never tried. And they live like kings. So this is what we have in Israel. So if we look at the United States, we have 320 million people in the United States. 320 million. Only 2% or around 7.5 million are Jews. Okay. Now the Communist Party is Jewish. No one debates that the Communist Party is Jewish. For many years, its president was a man named Gus Hall from Finland. Of course, Gus Hall was Jewish, and Gus Hall wasn't his real name. The Jews love to change their names. One of the things that Americans don't know is that gambling is basically a Jewish occupation. In Las Vegas, in New Jersey, is gambling. We look at the big gambler, of course, is, what is his name, Jerry? Donald Trump. Thank you. Okay. Donald Trump. A lot of people don't know that Trump is basically Jewish. A lot of people don't realize that Donald Trump, there's a movie on his life on TV. His father was a Jew and a real estate investor in New York City, and he took over from that. So he was born rich, and he's still rich. The mafia, the gambling, the adult bookstores, the strip clubs, the carousels, everywhere are all owned by Jews. The filthy music of Hollywood and Broadway and publishing, Jews. In Wall Street, of course, the criminals, the Millikens, the Madoffs, the others are Jews. When we look at body parts, the body part industry, and the crooks there, you know, that sell you body parts, and, you know, a young 12-year-old boy needs a heart, and he gets a heart. He finds out later that, if he ever finds out, that maybe that heart belonged to an 80-year-old man. So, the heart industry, the spare parts industry, is run by the Jews. So the sex trafficking rings, many of them are owned by the Jews. Everywhere you go, you find a Jew. You know, some years ago, I wrote a book, New Age Cults and Religions, about New Age cults. And I found that almost every New Age cult was founded by a Jew. Without a doubt, you can see the Messianic Christians have gone in and founded these Judaic cults. Freemasonry is all run by Jews. We know that Pike, back in the 19th century, really founded the Great Order of Freemasonry. And in his book, Classics, his classical book, Morals and Dogma, you'll find that it's Jewish Kabbalism that is the basis of all Freemasonry. Jewish lobbies across America are the most powerful of lobbies. The ADL, the SPLC, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, GENSA, and more. Well, all the wars that we've had since, well, actually all the wars that we've had, period. You say, well, they didn't fight in World War I. It wasn't the Jews. Well, yes, it was. You'll find that World War I was caused by Jews. You'll find that World War II was caused by Jews. And you'll see that World War III is planned by Jews. So, therefore, we have the fact of wars. Right now, we have the wars in the Middle East. We have, well, just look at what we have. We have Libya. We've killed Gaddafi. And now we have a bad situation in Libya with really the Al-Qaeda basically running Libya today. We have Morsi, who's head of it's really Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is in Egypt. And Mr. Morsi is the head of it, but he was educated in the United States of America. Everywhere you turn, and whether it's in Iran or Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Libya, you find people that were fostered by the CIA, and you find a greater Israel in every country in Israel, in the Middle East, that is. So, what are we there for in Israel? We're there for Israel. We will save trillions of lives if we simply cut and run. Trillions, in fact, have been spent on Palestinian wars in vain since 1948 by U.S., Israel, and NATO. But Israel doesn't pay for its wars. It gets American loan monies, and then it never pays back the loans. Now, that's neat, isn't it? Since 1948, we've given literally trillions of dollars to Israel. Now they're the third largest military force in the world. The third largest. Now some say fourth or fifth largest. But imagine a little nation of 7.5 million, the third, fourth, or even the fifth largest in terms of wars fought in the Middle East. Now, if we required all the Jews in America to return, we would lose 7.5 million people. That's no real problem, is it? Now, we're going to talk over what some of these people own. But that's no problem, is it? And then they would have to pay reparations. Reparations is what land they've already stolen. Since 1948 to 2012. Think about that. How many years have we got? We've got 60 some odd years. They've stolen a lot of land. They've killed a lot of people. Reparations must be paid. Millions must be paid for each Palestinian life taken. The oil in Gaza alone would pay the reparations. Did you hear what I just said? The oil off the coast of Gaza alone would pay for the reparations. That's why so many people are dying in Gaza today. That's why the Jews have every intent to run the people of Gaza out of that area entirely. And they've destroyed most of the property. And when the Gazans build a new building, they know that it probably will be burnt to a crisp within the 10th year. So trillions have already been spent of American money and oil in Gaza could pay. Now, we've seen, you know, every time a little rocket goes off, a Palestinian rocket, these are very minute things. And if they shoot up 50 rockets, only one or two will land on anything substantial. And it's very rare when one of them just unexpectedly hits a house or hits an apartment building. So what happens? Well, then Israel is, fired up, and they go and they bomb very accurately with their bombers, and they bring in their armed forces carriers and their tanks, and their armed men, and then, you know, several hundred Palestinians are killed for each Jew who is killed. So this is the kind of exaction, you might say. Now, when we return in just a minute, we're going to look at this Aliyah project. I'm very serious. I think we ought to return the 7.5 million people. When I say return, I'm really talking about going for the first time. These people have never, ever been to Israel. And most of them don't want to go. They're enjoying what they're doing in the United States. They're among the richest and wealthy of people. And we're going to look at it in just a moment. And you'll see how they actually own America. In getting rid of 7.5 million Jews from American soil, we will basically have solved our problem. And do you get that? If we can get rid of 7.5 million Jews in America, if we can make it right, if we can send them where they're already citizens of a country, then we can make things right for America. Send 7.5 million Jews to Israel. I'm Tex Marsh. You're listening to Power Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, Tex Mars and Power Prophecy. Folks, I want to let you know that we have our Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, our tremendous new book, and I want you to have a copy of it. It's 432 pages, And it's, well, it's just an encyclopedia. Everything you'd want to know about the Jews, about their eye-opening conspiracy. Conspiracy of the six-pointed star. On the back cover of the book, it says, greed, money, murder, blood. Greed, money, murder, blood. You'll discover eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Rothschild, Israel, the Jews, and Zionism, and the hidden agenda that propels these evil forces. Now, greed, money, murder, and blood are the inflammable factors that motivate the elite, and you'll find out just how horribly dark-hearted these Luciferian conspirators are. Now, it took me many, many years to write this book. And a lot of people say, well, how did you do it? How can you really write a book like this? Well, you know, it's amazing. For example, Helena Blavatsky was a Russian Jew. She wrote The Secret Doctrine that said this. It said, Satan is the God of our planet and the only God. Satan is the God of our planet and the only God. Helena Blavatsky, Russian Jew, one of the leaders of the New Age movement. Ram Dass, he has a Hindu name, but his real name was Richard Alpert. He was first introduced to the magic mushrooms of Mexico by Harvard LSD guru Timothy Leary. Ram Dass, whose real name was Richard Albert. Why are Jews at the forefront of the satanic occult world revolution? There's so many questions here. Poland hunting for the Jewish commandant who is wanted for crimes against humanity. There's Jacob Rubenstein. Do you know who Jacob Rubenstein is? Well, his real name is Jack Ruby, hitman for the Jewish mafia. He hit, well, you know about Lee Harvey Oswald, don't you? So all of these things, it just becomes an amazing situation. Again, only 18 and a half million Jews. Did you know that there are more people in the state of Texas? In the state of California, there are more people than there are Jews in the entire world. And yet, they've got such fantastic powers, such amazing powers. Now, Bobby Fischer is in this book, a great chess master. But he said the Jews are antisocial, destructive, intolerant, mean-spirited, deceitful, etc. They wish to destroy, rule and kill, rob whoever gets in their way. And he was right about all these things. He says, the Jews don't want me to succeed in any of my projects. They want me to be a failure. Jews are vicious rats. America is just a Jew country. The Jews control everything and everybody. That was from Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer. We have a very moving essay on Bobby Fischer, a man who was called the greatest genius in the world. Now, we also have the information on Harry Truman. Harry Truman was a 33rd degree Freemason. He was put into business in the business world in a Jewish men's clothing store to watch him. Well, that would be his good friend. A good friend of his became the guy who was with him in the store. And then after that, he became the head of the, what you would say, the county commissioners, the county board of supervisors. In any case, he finally ended up being raised to Senate of the United States, vice president. And the president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, gave Harry Truman absolutely no responsibilities at all. Harry Truman didn't have any job, okay? Most Americans didn't even know who the vice president was. And then he became president. Now, what he did with the Jews is, well, you wait till you read it. with General George Patton, with General Ike Eisenhower. And by the way, one of the things he did was to, I have on page 124 of my book, the fact that the state of Israel is born. And here's the letter from Harry Truman. It says, the United States recognizes the provisional government as a de facto authority of the state of Israel. Now, Harry Truman took his pen and wiped out the words, the new Jewish state. He wiped out the words, the new Jewish state. Approved May 14th, 1948. Very interesting, isn't it? And he added the word provisional government. So recognition of the state of Israel. He was given $2 million or more in bribes, bribe money. So, and by the way, I was able to confirm that with the FBI that finally has released the archives on that. You'll learn why Spiro Agnew got fired. Well, he exposed the Jews too. So did Richard Nixon. So did Billy Graham. All of these people, you'll learn what they did in the conspiracy of the six-pointed star. A lot of American history has not been written. It won't be written. This book will never, never, ever become a classic. And the reason it won't become a classic is it fights the common thread of the Jews. If you write a book that's favorable to the Jews, it will receive a favorable press. If you write a book that's unfavorable to the Jews, well, it won't even be recognized. But we're getting some recognition. And it's interesting to me that Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star for 2 years now has been on the Jewish bestsellers list. Now think of that. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star by Tex Mars for 2 years being on the Jewish bestsellers list. Why is that? The Jews want to read about real history, and they do, but nobody else knows about it. So, you know, a lot of these things are reported in the Jewish press. You'll see Jewish publication after Jewish publication that I quote and I use authoritatively. So, again, you get the news, but, well, do you get the news? That's the question. Now, the book is only $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $30. And you'll have a 432-page book. It's a big format, twice as big as a typical book. So you'll have a huge book. And it will have all of these things quoted in it. The top Jewish writers. You know, and so you'll find out things that you never realized before. And, of course, the historians get up and you'll see them on C-SPAN or something, and they all, you know, tell you the same things. And when I confront these historians, they want to hide their faces and run for cover. They don't want to face up to these things. None of these things are part of American history, or are they? Well, you decide that for yourself. If you want to know real American history, read Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Again, $25, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. Ask for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star from Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can order our products, including Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, this big new book. It's a big encyclopedic-type book, a big book. You can order it from powerofprophecy.com, our website, powerofprophecy.com, or you can phone us during the work week, Monday through Friday. Just phone us 8 to 5, and that's Central Standard Time. Our phone number here is 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. Now, when we look to a number of authorities in America, you'll find that they're Jewish. What are they doing as Jews? Well, they're Jews. You know, when you watch Fox News at night, Fox News will have person after person after person who is Jewish. And the ones who are not Jewish will not be given important topics to talk about. Let's look at the people I call Swindler's List. Swindler's List from my book, Conspiracy of the Six Bonus Store. This was in my video, Rothschild's Choice. For example, at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, that would be Mary Shapiro, chairman. The FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Commission, that'd be Martin Greenberg. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, well, that would be Dr. Margaret Hamburg. Then you go to the American Enterprise Institute, Arthur Brooks. The Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass. Every one of these people turned out to be Jews. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy, by Robert Satloff, the president. The Trilateral Commission, Joseph Nye, a Jew. Every one of these are Jews. There's the JINSA, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, David Gans, president, he's Jewish. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, that would be Jessica Tuckman Matthews, a Jew. The Center for Security Policy, this guy always speaks. You know, you'll always see him. Frank Gaffney, the president, he's Jewish. The Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Clifford May, Jewish. Now, notice all, you know, their titles here. Council on Foreign Relations, American Enterprise Institute, Trilateral Commission, the Jewish Institute, the Center for National Security Policy, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. They're all for defense of democracies. They're all for American enterprise. They're all pro-American. But all they talk about is Jewish things. So they're brought on to talk about the Jews. And so you get into heartbreaking discussions, whether it's Fox News or CNN News or CNBC, they're talking about Jewish things. You know, you get the gal that's at CNBC, and she talks about Jewish things. Everything has to be Jewish. Now, if the star of the show is not Jewish, for example, you know, O'Reilly, who's not Jewish, all the people around him are Jewish. So how is it that only 3% of the Americans are Jews, but all the talking heads are Jewish? So this is just what we're led to. Now, look, how about the internet? First of all, our dollars, our tax dollars paid for the internet. No doubt about that. We have spent trillions of dollars, you know, since the 60s particularly, and we came up with the internet. Well, that's great. Who owns it? The Jews own it. How did they get to own it? Well, Dell Computer Company, Jewish. Google and YouTube and Motorola, that'd be Larry Page, a Jew. Microsoft, Steve Ballmer, a Jew. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, a Jew. Yahoo is Marissa Meyer, a Jew. Oracle Corporation, Larry Ellison, a Jew. Cisco Corporation, Leonard Bosack, a Jew. Sun Microsystems, Jonathan Schwartz, a Jew. You know, you get the founder of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales. That's why, you know, they won't even list 19 or 20 books by Tex Mars. They won't even list the books. Can you imagine? It's amazing. Jeffrey Skoll is founder of eBay. The New York Times, the Sulzbergers, the Washington Post companies, Donald Graham, both Jews. The Chicago Tribune, a Jew. The Los Angeles Times, a Jew. So think about this. The newspapers of record, New York Daily News, New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, every one of them, the Los Angeles Times, Mr. Zelman, a Jew. They're Jews that own every one of them. Apple Computer Company, of course, was founded originally by Stephen Jobs, a Jew and a homosexual. So it's really just it's an astonishing thing. Now, we look at four Jewish Americans that that ran the U.S. government, Arthur Levitt, the longest-serving chairman of the U.S. Security Exchange Commission. After leaving the SEC, he began working for Goldman Sachs, a Jewish company, the very company he once regulated. Then we have Paul Volcker. Here's a guy who's Jewish. After leaving the Federal Reserve Board in 1987, where he was the chairman, he became chairman of the prominent New York investment banking firm, Wolfenson and Company. That's run by Wolfenson, Jewish, who later became head of the World Bank. Volcker returned to government to serve on Obama's economic team. He then returned to Wall Street. Robert Rubin, he worked for Goldman Sachs for 26 years and then joined President Clinton's team as Secretary of the Treasury. He returned to Wall Street to work for Citicorp. Then there's Peter Orszag, head of he was director of the Congressional Budget Office. Then when he left government, he joined the Citibank Group. So, and by the way, you can turn to Jamie Dimon, D-I-M-O-N, who is chairperson at J.P. Morgan Chase. He's Jewish. Everywhere there's a Jew. Everywhere. J.P. Morgan, of course, of Chase. You get Bank of America. You get every one of these turn out to be Jews. Mary Shapiro, commissioner of the Securities and Exchange Commission, she's a Jew. Now, Mary is leaving now. She's gone all the way through the recession. She's being replaced as head of the SEC. They're the people that, you know, oversee the Securities and Exchange Commission. Who might her successor be? Well, that was just announced. It's Elissa Walter, a Jew. Obama is going to appoint another Jew as head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. You know, Gary Gensler, chairman of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. They look at gold, they look at silver. A lot of crooked things going on there. But Gary Gensler's never found them. And why would he? The guy, before he got this government post, he worked for Goldman Sachs. And when he goes back, he's going to work for Goldman Sachs. Ben Bernanke, chair of the Federal Reserve. Timothy Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury. Where was he before he became Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner? Well, he was head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. You know, Jewish government officials overseeing Jewish banks, Jewish investment companies, financiers on Wall Street. This is the biggest, this is the sweetest deal of all time. The sweetest deal of all times. Vanity Fair magazine in its October 2007 issue published a list of the world's most powerful people, 100 of the most influential wealthy men and women on the planet. And here's what they say. Jewish power dominates at Vanity Fair. More than half of the members are Jews. In the whole world, there's less Jews than there are in the state of Texas. But on a list of the 100 most powerful men and women, Jewish power dominates at Vanity Fair. That was from the Jerusalem Post. This is incredible. Joseph Aaron, a Jew, proudly proclaimed that in his article, October 2007, in Jewish World Review. He said, quote, "What is absolutely amazing, stunning about the list is how many Jews there are on it. The list of the Vanity Fair 100 includes, get ready, 51, yes, 51 Jews, minimum. We're powerful, very powerful." My goodness. Minimum. You see, of the 100 richest people in the world, 51 are Jews. And that's minimum. Because there are people such as Slim Carlos of Mexico. Is he Jewish? He doesn't say. He's only Mexican. He probably is. So there are people like that. So in the Israeli news site, Ynet News, October 26, 2011, in an article titled, "How Did American Jews Get So Rich?" Here's what they say. Since the mass immigration some 100 years ago, Jews have become the richest religious group in American society. They make up only 2% of U.S. population, but 25% of the 400 wealthiest Americans. Okay? So, let me ask this question. Jerry, you're here in my studio with me. What percent of the Muslims in America? You know, maybe the Muslims are only about 2%. Do you ever see a Muslim? See, now they're beginning, you know, maybe we better have a Muslim out there. Let's have Farid Zaharia. You know, let's have this one. And they're, every Muslim that they have as a talking head is always pro-Israel. Isn't that odd? Every Muslim that they have. So this is the Arab and the Muslim world. And in all of history, only Israel has ever dictated the number of Jews. Only Israel can literally dictate the number of Jews that are talking heads. So it's really interesting. You know, the Arab and Muslim world comprise about 1/4 of the world's population. But you don't see, they're very rare. When do you see a woman all wrapped up in her head and comes forth to speak? Extremely rare. Well, now, what does the Jewish religion have to say about this? Well, it says it's fine. The Babylonian Talmud says it's fine. Baba Kamma 37b, the Gentiles are outside the protection of the law, and God has exposed their money to Israel. What do you mean the Gentiles are outside the protection of the law? What law? And God has exposed their money to Israel. Baba Kamma 113a, Jews may use lies to circumvent a Gentile. Jews may use lies to circumvent a Gentile. Yabamoth 98a says, all Gentile children are animals. Are animals. You mean little Swedish children? Norwegians? Arab children? American children? They're all animals. They're dogs. They're goyim. That's according to Yabamoth A, 98a. It's just, you know, and by the way, in October 23rd, 2012, in The Guardian, a British newspaper, they found this poll. They found an Israeli poll says that a majority are in favor of apartheid policies in Israel. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. According to the article, more than 2/3 of Israeli Jews living in the West Bank should be denied the right to vote. 3 out of 4 Israelis say they're in favor of segregated roads for Israelis and Palestinians in the West Bank. There are today segregated roads. You can't even drive down them. You know, if you're not a Gentile or if you're not a Jew, don't drive down this road. That's just crazy. So this is what you have, racism, hatred, and a disregard for the lives. Almost 6 out of 10 say Jews should be given preference to Arabs in government jobs. Preference to Arabs. 50% say Jewish citizens should be treated better than Arabs. 42% do not want their children going to school with Arabs. 42%. Wow. From a leader of the ruling party, the Shas party, Rabbi Obadiah Yosef, says, may the Lord strike him. He's referring to Abbas, Mohammed Abbas. Wow. And after his traditional New Year's wish of, may those who hate us be finished, that's his traditional New Year's wish. Rabbi Yosef repeatedly said that God would send a plague to the Palestinians and they should be finished. The Lord will strike them down. Well, according to a Haaretz article, June the 9th, 2009, Rabbi Manus Friedman said this. He said, "The only way to fight a moral way is the Jewish way. Destroy their holy sites, kill men, women, children, and cattle." What? The only way to fight a moral way is the Jewish way? Destroy their holy sites, kill men, women, children, and cattle? Now, here's what I believe about this Aliyah project. If we sent 7.5 million Americans there, that'd be all the Jews. Okay? They can bring everything with them. They can, I mean, even though they got it by robbing us, they can bring everything with them. They can bring Google, Dell computers, Yahoo. I mean, I don't care. They can bring it all. And we'll just crank it out again. Americans will do the job. We don't need 7.5 million Jews here. Why do they stay here? Why do they want to foul up America? They're staying here on purpose. Now, not every Jew, of course, but there are many Jews who know exactly why they're here. They're here to be given things, to be given free things. They're given the internet. They're given tweet, you know, Facebook, Dell computers, all these things they're given. Google, everything, Microsoft, who is it, head of Microsoft? Gates, Bill Gates. He's Jewish, by the way. So you see, it doesn't matter. All of the computer companies are run by Jews. All this has not been by accident. Now some people say, but wait, Tex, aren't the Jews smarter? No, no. I gave you the top book on this, and they ranked 34th out of 82 countries in intelligence. 34th out of 82. All right. The Spaniards outrank the Jews in IQ. The Mongolians outrank the Jews in IQ. The Americans, even with our blacks, even with our Mexicans, we outrank the Jews in intelligence. So it's not their intelligence. They desire to make money, and they do make money. They help each other make money. They favor a Jew. And so we get the royal shaft. That's the way it goes. In Hollywood, in publishing, everywhere you'll find the Jews. This is their country. They love America because they get everything. They get everything. But they're not going to get everything. Because when the Americans wake up and say, wait just a minute, you guys, you Jews, own it all, then Americans are going to get tired. We're going to get tired of being the computer engineers. We're going to get tired of having developed all of these computer companies that are run by Jews. And we're going to say, wait just a minute. This is wrong. We are Americans. And we don't want to go to Israel. If you want to go, then you go. And if you don't want to go, we'll send you anyway. That's what's going to happen. Until next time, this is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during the same time. Discover the power of prophecy.